RTE 2 FM. So what are we doing now? What are we doing? Oh, we're doing this.
Jen's friends.
Just friends.
Yes, yes, yes. It is time for Jen's friends, and I'm delighted to have Norma Sheehan and Robbie Lawler in studio to discuss all the big stories of the week. How's it going, lads?
Great.
How are my friends?
As your friend, there's a bit of spinach between your
teeth there. Sorry, don't be ratting
on me. Jesus, Jen.
We're not allowed to eat in the studio. Well, don't be ratting on me.
You're doing very well. It is there. Bit of parsley, is it?
You can't talk.
Oh, it's coming out now.
Go on.
Norma had a facial and she looks like she's done 10 rounds with Mike Tyson.
I do. I look like Alex Ferguson. I got my face lasered the other day, burnt the face off myself, and I look like I've been put.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. Is it? You look great. Yeah.
Apparently so.
Apparently, grand, okay.
You're going to be gorgeous, even more gorgeous.
I'm going to be a ridey ride.
The things that we do to ourselves. Have you ever done a laser facial?
No, I was thinking about it, but not now.
Well, I asked for Botox and fillers, and you said, no, you're too old. Why would you freeze a messed up face? I'll just burn the head off you. There we are.
Here we are.
Woohoo!
You look great. Interesting, because Lottie was just talking about, we just having this chat off air about going grey. Jennifer Aniston's gone grey. Do you hear that?
Why?
Exactly.
Well, good for her.
Yeah.
I have no grace.
I think Jennifer can pull off anything though, right?
Listen, you're gunning for a smack now. I have no grey. You've not one grey.
I'm like a skunk. Honestly, well, I have vitiligo. So that takes off like the melanin in your skin. And one morning I woke up and I was blow drying my hair and I literally screamed when I looked in the mirror because I got this chunk of grey hair overnight.
Different for men.
It is different for men, I agree.
It's different for men. Mm. Anyway, that's another conversation. Yes. I want to talk about... We've lots to get through, right? The phones were hopping this week. On Tuesday, we heard from listeners about the times that their parents were really proud because Noel Gallagher told Dave Fanning, he was sitting where you were last week, that his mom had never noticed the whole Oasis thing. They were actually really successful.
That'd be a good time. Mm-hmm.
Until they got on Top of the Pops.
Yeah.
That was it. Norma, do you think it's because his mammy was Irish? Is it difficult to impress Irish mammies? Irish parents, full stop?
Okay, don't want to sound morbid now, but I think your parents need to pass away before you realise. Stop trying to impress them. There is no impressing them. I have 3 kids and parents are busy with their own lives. Mm-hmm. They just want you to be happy, leave them alone and shut up. There's no impressing them. And like the things that you think will impress them, it's not like...
Yeah, it's true. But Norma, I found a loophole to this a little bit, and that's bring them into it.
What do you mean?
When I was on the Late Late Show,
and
they asked me, oh, can we bring your mum into the audience and talk to her? My mum's like, oh, I don't know if I can. I was like, mum, you know you want to be on the Late Late Show. And she'd done the fake tear. She was delighted by herself. And then I'd done a documentary, and she wasn't interested that I was making this movie documentary. I was like, do you want to be in it? And then she was all about it, telling everyone in work, went to every screening.
Was that the moment for you? The Late Late Show, when you got her on the Late Late, was that the moment she became most proud of you? No,
no, that's the only time she started talking about me, I think.
it's like Top of the Pops for Oasis. And similar, my mother on her deathbed was literally saying, you never got me on the Late Late. Oh, gone.
That's her last words.
Failed.
Oh, God. So that's that. And what about with your kids? Would you tell them that you're proud of them all the time, Norma?
I know, they're so
They know already.
Well, Oh, I was told for the last few weeks, if you tell us to study, 2 of them doing junior research, if you tell us to study, we will not study. I got a phone call from one of them yesterday, barking at me, going, it's all your fault, you never made us study. So you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't.
Yeah.
Like, I think just Velcro up your mouth until they're 19.
Okay, what's the tricky age then, are you saying, from 13?
Tricky, I would say, is 14 to 19, I'm thinking. I mean, I was a wagon. Oh, I was dark. They're not as bad as I was.
Really?
Oh, I was a horrid.
What about you as a teenager? How were you around exam time and all that kind of thing?
Oh, I was grand.
Where are you?
I was grand. I was teacher's pet, mammy's pet. Yeah, I got along with everyone. Now, I hated sports and my family were real sporty and stuff like that. So I was a little bit of the weird kid. But other than that, yeah, I was great.
Oh, yeah, you have a sister on the Irish team or something.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that, but I think there is a name for people like you.
Yeah, I was a swat.
Or a lick.
Licker.
Oh,
Lickers.
You're a licker.
Yeah. I've been called that a few times in my life, Jen. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's always a good one.
Yeah.
Let's talk about representation. Yes. Let's talk about your sister. Because yesterday we talked about representation, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's so few gay sports people in male sports as opposed to female sport, right? Mm-hmm. Robbie, as Norma mentioned, your sister played for Ireland. I mean,
yeah, it's so funny
that's
like
huge.
Is she gay?
she's gay, yeah. Right? So my poor mam, or my oh, great mam, actually the two gays in the family are definitely her favourite.
Two gays.
Yeah.
Two gays in the village.
So yeah, my sister is a lesbian, but she also played for the Irish football team, and she got like FAO Player of the Year Award, all of these things. So it's always just so normal for women in sports. She was on the same team as Katie Taylor, and also I grew up with these amazing women. And I couldn't even kick a ball, would you imagine? So yeah, she had this like lovely like a corner just dedicated to all her trophies and medals, and she was definitely the golden child.
Is there a genetic thing that it's been proven that, I say, if you're a woman and you're lesbian, you're just better at sport? Is that a thing?
Okay. So as an insider with a lesbian sister, I do think they are just naturally more angry.
Oh, wow.
I'm only messing. No, they are not.
Angry vagina.
Lesbians should run the world. If you want anything, don't get a lesbian to do it.
I
honestly
tried to be a lesbian so hard. Yeah. Well, I didn't try hard enough, but it's just not for
me. There's still time, Norma.
I know, but
going back to the sport, Robbie, do you think more gay fellas would stay in sports if there was more visible gay players? Because the representation, now we're talking, okay, so for your sister, and she was in a team with Katie Taylor, so we're talking about the 90s, late 90s, noughties?
2000 noughties, yeah.
Noughties, okay, so, but our generation is a very, very different thing. You could there was no representation for
women. Well, you couldn't speak out if you were, you would be bullied if you're on a team if you said you were.
But if I wouldn't have never watched Ireland female soccer team play on the telly. Okay. The representation wasn't there. But going back to lads and gay fellas, for example, because there's a huge discrepancy there with sports people who are openly gay. As you know, they just don't say it for whatever reason. And it's quite sad. But do you think more gay fellas would stay in sport if there was more representation?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Like, you know, it's all about representation and visibility is what changes culture, isn't it? But it's just trying to get that snowball effect where more and more people think they can come out. Like we had Gareth Thomas come out about being gay and also living with HIV too. So massive representation. Yeah. But he's just one of, I think, five people I can think in all sports categories who
isn't
came out
crazy?
As gay. That's bonkers. Like statistically, there's many, many more. I'm sure there's lots of tales in the locker rooms that we just haven't heard about.
And just to clarify, of course, anyone realistically can play sport and be good at it regardless of your sexual orientation.
And there's many LGBT sports teams around Ireland as well, so I say definitely go to them. They're very safe and they're for allies as well, for the straights are allowed in too, but it's good fun.
What about the girls? Do you find it difficult to keep them in sport?
Oh, I think COVID messed things up a bit. So I have two the twins are about to turn 16. And
oh my God.
They, now thankfully, this amazing woman called Sarah Scott was the head hockey woman in the school. And she kind of stuck a stick in their hand and she got them into hockey. But COVID stopped all their gymnastics, all their GAA. And these are active girls. These aren't bookworms. They need to move. They're wiry. They're like Jezebel, whatever, Jessica and Isabel. So COVID was a disaster. But now we're out of that and sport is so important. Girls, it's proven girls get the fear when the periods kicked in and the hormones kick in. They don't want to be harmed. The body says, mind your body because you need to make babies or whatever. And they're not even aware of that, but they don't want to fall and be hurt and all the rest of it. And if they can get over that hump of the fear and wanting to be cool and the first snogs and all that, then they will plough on with sport, I think, and I think it's so important.
Do you think this summer with the World Cup, that'll really help with visibility? Because you remember back in the day when Wimbledon was on, we were all out playing tennis on the road and stuff like that. Yeah. So maybe with the World Cup and the girls doing so well.
I remember on the farm, we'd park the cars and we'd put baler twine between the two cars or between the truck and the car, and we'd play tennis over the piece of baler twine.
With a shovel, probably.
Yeah.
Literally.
Visibility is key. Okay, you talked about first snog there, Norma, briefly. On Wednesday, we actually heard from listeners about their first kiss memories.
Ooh.
Never great, I find. What do you remember, Norma, about your first kiss? Is it a memory that will stay with you forever?
It was horrific. It was in a football pitch. I ran away and someone must have given my mother the heads up because she was parked in the village as I was running home through the village crying.
Oh.
Why were you crying?
I just got traumatised. There was this thing went into my mouth. Sorry, his tongue. His tongue went into my mouth. Anyway, enough.
It was too much.
It was too much. But it's different nowadays. You know, they go to discos quite young and it's, you know, some people are lucky enough to get 20 snogs in the night and others might even get the one. But then the girls go back and they look after Mary, who didn't get the snog at the first three discos, and outing number five could be all about dressing her up and making sure she gets sore.
Okay,
gets a bit
so
of tongue.
There's a bit of tongue. Yeah, so yeah, there's yeah. a way to do it.
Well, I don't know. I haven't asked my daughters although I do know I think one of, I don't know if they know about this, but when the twins, when one of them snogged for the first time at one of those discos, and it was a bit delayed now because of COVID, the other one was like, I'm not going home. I'm not going to be the one who didn't. Yeah. So she went up to the same fella. She got her friend to go up to the same fella and said, oh, look, do you want to have a go again?
Oh, my God.
So their first snog was at the same fella. This shouldn't be on air. Can you delete this? Can we remove this?
Yeah. I'll edit this out. Don't worry.
Oh, can I trust you? Because you're my friend.
You can trust me. Robbie, you were fairly young and the setting wasn't that romantic. Go on, tell us your first kiss story.
It's probably a bit traumatic, maybe for me and her. So it was a girl for one, right? that was also
traumatic.
Memorable. So it was third class. Yes, third class. I was very young. And we were in our local Eurospar and we were like, let's have a bit of privacy. So we went to the phone booths. Do you know the public phone booths?
Oh,
with the glass panel on it. So not so much private. I wasn't a smart kid. But there was this other girl in school who was friends with both of us and she had a boyfriend for 2 years.
Wow.
So she was going to teach us how to kiss. So she was looking at us on our first kiss saying, too much tongue, too little tongue. Do you know?
Three of you in the
phone
box.
Like lick our tonsils basically, you know? So it was just wild. Yeah.
That's like a threesome though.
Actually, I never thought of it that way.
Yeah.
Listen, apparently once you start, you don't go back. Fair play. Did somebody have some weird kissing game going on? Oh. Did you have a weird kissing game?
Absolutely. So you talked about the teenage discos, basically. Yeah. So there was the No Name back in our one. And it was a well-known game called Beat the Slapper. I don't know if you've ever played it, Jen.
I might have played it without knowing.
Yeah. But it's an all-boys school. I was in an all-girls school and we all went to the No Name. And it was... everyone played it, all genders, and we're like, how many people could we kiss at night time? And then we'd like tally our scores, and then if you beat the slapper, you know, you won. But I only got 3. I think that was the max I've ever gotten. Could you believe? But my best friend Gary Neville kissed like 23 girls on average, and I used to just sit in the car, just listen to all the girls he kissed, just being pure depressed. But also kind of like, yeah, what?
Cold sores, loads of cold sores.
No, I'm the one with herpes. Would you believe?
Lovely.
Yeah,
actually, we all have a bit of it. Somewhere.
Yeah,
a dose of herpes when we're stressed.
Let's move on quickly to our next story. You're getting me into trouble today, Norman, the two of you.
Listen, cold, there's nothing wrong with a bit of cold sore.
No, absolutely not. Love Island, we talked about Love Island because there's a lad on that called George, right? And he thought Casanova was a car for some reason. His mother used to call him a right Casanova and he thought it was some kind of a car. And people are texting things they get wrong all the time. How long were you getting LOL wrong for?
Oh, very long, very long. Yeah, LOL.
What did you think it was?
Sure, I thought it was lots of love.
Mm.
So I was sending lots of love to people inappropriately, and also I was just like, if I'd sent something funny, I thought people were into me because they'd send me lots of love. They were sending like lots of love inappropriately from people. I was loving it. I was loving all the love, but no, it was laugh out loud.
Okay. Did your daughters have to fill you in?
No, it was
a friend,
a male.
Oh. Yeah, okay, Robbie, your mix-up was a bit rude, but it wasn't your fault apparently. What happened?
No, we're really going to get in trouble in this show today, Jen. So
oh,
it was my two older brothers. I'll never forget. Like again, probably around fifth class this time. I aged 2 years, and we were moving to America at the time. And we were on the plane, and before we went, my brothers went through this phase of saying, "Oh, we're having Tom Hanks and blah blah blah." But every time they said it, in my naivety, I thought they were going for a poo, like, you know. So I'll never forget. On the plane, I jumped out of my seat and I was like, everyone, I'm going for a Tom Hanks. And the look of horror on my mother's face, and my whole family just broke their crap laughing.
Now, for anyone out there who doesn't know what a Tom Hanks is,
yeah,
it's a wank, because I'm a bit simple. Go on anyway.
So I was like, what's wrong? And they just couldn't tell me because I was like 12 at the time, and they were just like in shock. And it wasn't until a few years later that they made me remember. And I have this complex of talking about like poos and stuff like
How
that.
How old
anymore.
Were your siblings who were having the Tom Hanks at the time?
They were like,
I'm
four,
glad you
five,
said
you
Tom
really...
Hanks and you didn't say the other words.
Yeah,
again.
Yeah.
Okay. It sounds like you have a very open family.
We had 5 kids in family and 1 toilet. So like you get very used to these talks very quickly.
Yes, yeah. I'm better for it.
Yeah.
Have you got a very open household or are you a kind of...
Now?
Yeah.
Oh God, it's a bloodbath.
Is it?
Yeah, there's 4 of us with periods.
Okay. Jen's friends. Just friends. I have 2 of me pals here, Norma and Robbie in, and we just had to take a quick break there because we were losing the run of ourselves.
I'd like to apologise to everyone
That's
for my
influence.
Potty filthy mouth.
Yeah.
Because you haven't been in a while, you know?
I haven't, and I've a lot to release. I haven't had any therapy or nothing like that.
This is what happens. You just get verbal diarrhea.
I do.
I find Jen's friends as therapy though, in fairness.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, listen, I love having you in and having the chat.
Yeah. Could we have coffees the next
Can I just
day,
go back to Love Island for a second?
Yeah.
Yes. Graham, coffees. We need to organise coffees the next time. Because we're talking about George and Love Island get mixed up that thinking a car, a Casanova was a car. Mm-hmm. Is Love Island big in your house with all your teenagers?
Yeah, is it? Yeah, they go through phases, and you know they. I was fascinated by the G-string bikini, so they all wear G-string bikinis.
Do they?
And not my
tan.
No, I'm talking about the people on Love Island.
Yeah,
but I presume the kids do as well. So I tried it recently.
How did it go?
I have a lovely bottom.
You do. You're very fit.
Yeah,
fit woman.
Like from behind, like people think I could be 27, and then they go, oh yeah, walk on.
Did you not find them extremely uncomfortable?
Nope.
No, okay.
I think a G-string's uncomfortable if you have clothes over it and it's shaft. Anyway, this is the weather's Chafing. Lovely today.
Yeah. Cutting something, yeah. Yeah.
Get it off in the RT studios.
I need to talk about this, lads. Bed rotting. It was on Wednesday, right? And we started off with a chat about what TikTokers call bed rotting. I mean, it's pretty gross. Description. Mm-hmm. And it's basically hiding away from the world in your bed. Robbie, can you enjoy a day like that, or does just the anxiety get you up and out?
No, absolutely. Give me a day in bed any day.
Really?
Do you know, sometimes I look forward to the hangover days more than the actual nights out, because I think when you're hungover, you give yourself a free pass just to stay in bed, binge watch Netflix or whatever TV, and then just eat the crappest of the crap food and not feeling guilty at all. It's just like paradise for me.
Right. Really. Oh, I don't get it. I actually don't get it. That would probably make me feel worse.
Well, you see, you
is that an age thing?
You're go do.
I think it's a parent thing.
Do you cuddle with
I think
dog,
parents
though?
Find it very hard to process. Of course I do. I have two very needy dogs, and they're my babies, and they're big floppy ears, so I just like rub their ears all day. And
yeah, you see, if she went to bed and rubbed her kids' ears, it just wouldn't work. They'd slap her and get her out of the bed. And
I just, if I was having a day, hangover is different, or if you're out in the lemonades or whatever. Mm. But I think if I was to work on my mental health, I think watching a screen, because the TikToker was saying scrolling, you know, watching TikTok all day, watching a screen, eating in bed. I just find that quite miserable.
I have been known that if I'm feeling a bit overwhelmed by the day ahead, I just shut down.
The day ahead.
If I get up and I get the kids to school or something like that, and you go, okay, this is all too much. I have been known recently to go and lie down for 10 or 15 minutes, maybe have a little get the vibrator out. No, I don't. I'm just advertising for Blue. What's your company called?
Play Blue.
But I wouldn't be able to stay in bed all day.
But you wouldn't. Okay. And would you? The optimal nap time is, you know, you get into bed and have 10, 15 minutes. Anything over that, you're going to ruin your sleep. Do you find it hard to get out? Okay, so you have a day like that. Do you find it hard to get back on track? Or no, you can...
I can get back into it. I have two dogs and they're huge dogs. So I'd need an hour and a half walk at least a day, at least, or else you know all about it. So I need a bit of greenery. If I'm having a mental health day, I'm completely with you, Jen. A day in bed or scrolling on your phone is the worst thing you can actually do. But hangover day, free pass for anyone listening.
I hear you. What do you do if you need... If you know you're getting a bit down or you need to have a bit of self-care, proper self-care, I presume you exercise. Don't, Norma. I'm telling you. You've already said
I do exercise. I run and I cycle and I do yoga. I do lots of stuff. Because
You're very bendy.
Well, yeah, but I just get angry, so I need to move. So that's fine. But I would say, on a serious note... This should be funny. COVID was tough for teenagers. They stayed in their bedrooms, and some of them haven't gone back to school. They have such anxiety about going into the classroom, even. And college students. And oh, look, I hate to bring up the old C word, but
I think there's still kids out there that haven't gone back to school.
There's a little bit of that going on. I'm sorry,
Well, that is frightening.
It is a bit frightening. Depends what age it hits you. Do you know what I mean? What age you were during
COVID.
And
what do you say to those kids if you're a parent?
Difficult. I mean, mine are a bit selfish and they love themselves, so they're grand. But like, I know a lot of teenagers who are just not getting back on track.
It is tough. Mm-hmm. It is tough. And I think spending the day on TikTok is definitely...
Well, it's not going to help.
It's too
addictive as well, isn't it? It's very hard to put down them when you get into the rut of it.
Yeah, so you look at other people, you think they're having a great time, but also what I found, if I put up a smiley face now, I'm getting kind of digs from other people going, look, the happy head on you. Yeah. Oh, you had a great time. Where were you last night? You're going, it's false. It's just me having to post something for work. I wasn't even having a great time, but I wasn't going to put up me misery head. I was going to put up a smile. So it is
false.
People
love watching the misery as well.
That's
so
true.
You exercise and you do yoga and you know what your buttons are, which is great. What do you do? Are you, well, you've dogs. So do
I have
get
dogs. I have greenery. I don't have kids, thank God. But also, I think that helps. But also, I just love cleaning the house when I'm in a bad mood. Oh, do you know, you put in, listen to an audiobook or a podcast or good, some music and just clean the house. I don't know what it does for my head, but it's just like...
No, it is therapeutic.
It's very good. Yeah.
Oh my God. That's why we're friends. Yes. I love cleaning too. I cleaned my bathroom with a toothbrush the other day and I never felt so good about something.
Okay, I've never felt that bad in my life, Jen.
No, the shower. You know all the grimy bits in the shower? Yeah. I got in with a toothbrush. It was my husband's and I felt so good after. I absolutely loved it.
Just run it through the dishwasher and stick it back in.
Yeah,
exactly. You didn't notice. Let's talk about Leaving Cert because obviously it's a big topic this week, especially. It's kicked off and yesterday we got calls from listeners trying to stop Leaving Cert listeners from fretting. Their advice. Everybody's full of advice. Norma, what's your Leaving Cert memory and how did you get away with cheating in college?
Oh, Jesus.
Cheating in college.
And just before I get on to
myself, I'm not even shocked.
Very proud of my daughter before the junior cert this week. Apparently, I heard today that she sets up a disco in the classroom. They all dance for 20 minutes in the classroom before they head over to the hall to do the junior cert. She's got a disco thing going on. Anyway, someone told me that.
Deadly.
I'm not part of that, but I'm kind of proud of her and kind of worried. Back to me, I still have the Leaving Cert nightmares probably weekly. Not great. And when it got to college, yes, I did cheat. But they're not listening, are they? They're not listening. I did cheat a bit in college because I didn't really care about commerce. I wanted to do acting. So I would have these fake panic attacks. I'd act like I was stressing out and the invigilator might help me out. Or I'd wear a baseball hat with a big peak and I'd put it facing forward, but I'd turn my head to the right or left. And at the front of the hall, they couldn't see if your head was twisted because the peak of the hat made it look like you were facing forward. And you could read the sheets to your right and left.
Okay, I'm glad you went into acting. Well, you're an amazing actress and you were destined.
You
are amazing. Robbie, you're doing a PhD. So how easy was your leaving, you big nerd?
the lick is coming back again.
Yeah.
I breezed through my Leaving Cert. And the reason why I did is I always know I wanted to do zoology since I was the age of 12. And it was only 315 points to do it in UCD back in 2008 when I was going in. So I knew I could get 315 points. So I didn't study at all. And my mum was really like, carefree. I was the first person to go to college in my whole family. So no one really cared, to be honest. But my niece now, who's 16, she's only 16 doing her Leaving Cert, which is
That's
just a
weird.
Shock anyways,
she's
right? But the same course in UCD Zoology is 550 points now for the exact same course. So like these poor young kids, they're pressure. I'd never have gotten that even if I studied, you know? But she doesn't really care. She's more excited to see Harry Styles this Saturday in Slane.
Yeah, we're going to be there. 2FM's going to be there.
Amazing.
And we do know that and everybody's saying it. It doesn't look like it's going to change anytime soon, but exams aren't everything. So we also talked about on the show about career backup plans. Backup plans. I've about 7 of them. Backup plans in case something goes wrong. I think it's nice to have backups because then you don't put so much emphasis on a gig or something. Now you can teach yourself that. But I feel for me it works better. Norma, what's your newest career?
Oh, listen, I wake up every day looking for a new backup plan. So I've got about, I always have 5 milking cows and I think I've only got 4 at the moment, so I've decided to become a yoga teacher on the side as well.
You're good with horses as well.
Good with horses. So I do the, you know, I'd have the, you know, bit of radio, bit of voiceover, bit of theatre, bit of whatever. Mm-hmm. But I do need a lot going on and my mother made me do the degree to have something to fall back on. That was a big thing back in the day. Don't go into acting, you lunatic. So, they're always looking for alternatives.
Have a bit of everything. Mm-hmm. Is that because it's nice to have other things to focus on and
no,
you
if,
know
if, no, if one isn't delivering, if one isn't... But you look at a teacher, they're probably spending the summer doing invigilating or they're doing grinds on a Saturday. You look at a builder, he's doing mixers. Like, everyone is juggling. Yeah. You can't really survive in one job.
Yeah.
Lads, it's been a pleasure and it's been very insightful and it's been terrifying having you guys in for Jen's Friends. I think we can all agree, Kate, would you agree? Kate is starting to sweat. Norma, Sheehan and Robbie Lawler, thank
can
you
I
for being
something?
My friend. Oh, I'm getting to that.
Oh, okay.
We were kind of trying to do it organically.
There's no organic.
No.
I don't do subtle.
Go sell.
So I'm tonight. I have 2 shows today in the Gaiety, The Matchmaker, John McKean, and it's with Oliver Callan, one of your locals here.
Wow. Oliver Callan!
Wow. Yeah, he's doing The Matchmaker with me today and tomorrow.
Yeah, I heard this.
Matinee and evening show today and tomorrow. And would you believe it? I was rehearsing with him last week. We're up on the bench doing the kind of John McKean ride by the fireplace, right? Mild ride. Text in from Auntie Betty going, oh, you do know Oliver Callan is your third cousin. His grandfather, your grandfather, were first cousins, your third cousins. I'm going, get off me, Oliver, get off me.
You are joking.
Sounds like a John B. Keane novel, in fairness.
Willie Leahy, Sean, watch First Cousins, and me and Oliver Third Cousins.
If you want to watch The Cousins, you want to see the Cousins in the Gaiety.
And Shirley Valentine is coming to the Cork Opera House 28th and 29th of July. Please buy tickets because it's mighty.
And never, ever stop doing that show because it is one of the greatest shows I've ever seen. Have you ever seen that, Shirley?
I've seen it with my family there. When it was, I'm not just saying this, it was honestly incredible. How you can remember so much lines is beyond me.
I just make them up.
Doesn't even stick to the script. Yeah. Robbie, you have a podcast, a movie. Go on, where can people get more of you?
Okay, so the Pause by Podcast just finished season 4. Yeah. We've done it in the Southern Hemisphere in Australia, where we talked about Aboriginal women living with HIV, ex-Jehovah gay witnesses living with HIV,
incredible.
People from the Muslim community living with HIV. Really interesting. And we have nurses to our 27-year-old Aoife Commons in Ireland opening up about HIV in the Northern Hemisphere. So keep an eye out for that. Mm-hmm. Listen in. Mm-hmm. But also, we have a documentary movie that's going to be shown on RTE this Pride. I don't have the exact date yet, so keep your eyes peeled, which is amazing. So it's a contemporary look at how people living with HIV today, and it's also a nod to the Dice Man, who sadly lost his life to AIDS back in the 90s.
What's it called?
How to Tell a Secret. So it's a documentary movie hybrid. It's very interesting, but it's doing amazing. It's travelling the whole world. It's getting awards all across the world. It was nominated for an IFTA. Sinead O'Connor beat us.
That's all right.
I know, but she was obviously going to beat us, right?
And it's going to be shown on RTE.
It's going to be shown in RTE, which is a really big thing.
And you want to travel with it around the world, yeah?
Yeah. Great. So it's just back from Warsaw. We brought it to Australia for World Pride, which was incredible. So yeah, let's keep going. Let's go to San Francisco. I love you too, Norma.
I have to do something now. I do apologise to anyone who may be offended by the comments and language used in Jen's Friends this morning. Jen Zamparelli on RTE 2FM.